Ecclesiastes chapter 10 for the preaching and teaching of God's word. Chapter 10 in Ecclesiastes, as you get your Bibles prepared for the preaching of God's word. All right, let's see if we can finish this chapter. By much slothfulness, verse number 18, the building decayeth. Through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, but no, not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Let's pray together. Our Father, I ask thy blessing on the reading of your word. We are gathered together in your name. We're not coming here for formality. We didn't just meet because that's what we do on Wednesday night. We want to hear from you. We are needy people going through trials and tribulations. We're in a real world facing a real devil in a real spiritual battle. And we're holding in our hands a real Bible inspired by a real God that makes a real difference. So I pray tonight we pay real attention. We'd hear what you'd have to say and respect it enough to heed it. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, James says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God, what we do tomorrow, we want your blessing on, and our blessings are contingent upon our obedience to the Bible. So help us tonight. These verses that are relevant, real, and in desperate need to be reproduced in our lives, may they be fresh and new tonight. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This chapter, number 10 in Ecclesiastes, within the theme of the entire book of Solomon, under the sun, its focus in chapter number 10 is the danger of foolishness, the danger of folly, how jeopardizing you put yourself in when you fool around with foolishness. I was just thinking while I was saying that, Proverbs chapter 6, you know, it's amazing how Solomon spoke so foolishly at times in Ecclesiastes. And he really didn't need to go far for counsel. If he had gone back one book to his own counsel, he'd have saved himself some misery. Chapter 6 says this: can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? The answer is no. You take fire in your bosom, your clothes are burned. You walk on hot coals, your feet are burned. And in chapter number 10, we can make very vivid application of those verses, simply saying you play with foolishness and you will be in danger. And might I encourage every person tonight, if you believe God and the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, and you believe that this world is wicked and you don't want to be burned by foolishness, then don't play with fire or you'll get burned. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. He began this chapter by saying, you don't need some horribly dead corpse to stink up your life. You just need harmless flies to die in your ointment. And that which smelt good now stinks. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, nobody that falls grossly into sin expected to fall when they dangle around a little bit with sin. So the essence of our preaching tonight is not make sure you don't fall bad, but make sure you don't fool around with it at all. Several passages in this chapter remind us of that, and we looked at all of them. The revealed ways of a fool, we saw them, the relevant warnings of a fool. We saw them, the routine work of a fool. We saw it, the reckless words of a fool. We saw them. And then we got into the last section where we'll close in this chapter tonight, which I call the ruling workers of a fool. In other words, how do we respond when we are workers working underneath a fool? Or we are in charge with the decision of whether or not to be a fool. Could I tell you that your position alone won't keep you safe? You're not safe because you're in charge. You're safe because you are in charge while using wisdom to lead properly. Ruling workers. We saw immature lordship in this passage of scripture. And this was the case where the king was a child, or the king was childish. He was in charge but unprepared. Because he was an unprepared superior, he was in charge of unrestrained subordinates. Because he wasn't ready for his job, those that he ruled ruled underneath him weren't doing their job properly. And instead of being focused on their work, notice what the scripture says, they were instead looking for their own pleasure. Notice he said, the princes eat in the morning. So they wake up worried about what they can have for themselves instead of getting the job done. As a result, it's an unpleasant situation. Woe to thee, O land. In other words, we need our leaders to be mature so our workers can work properly so that our land won't be in bad shape. And by the way, any land in the world today that's in bad shape is in bad shape because of leadership, because they fail to realize that righteousness exalts a nation, not a good economy, not great education, not diversity, not advancement in technology. If you want anything to flourish, you need righteousness. Impressive leadership, he goes beyond there to say. Blessed are thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles. In other words, instead of having immature leadership, you have impressive leadership. Someone who's leading with a principled spirit. He's noble. He's got integrity. He's got wisdom. He's got discretion. He's above board. He's got character, transparency, accountability. He said, blessed is the land. And by the way, we don't always like what leaders do, especially when it involves correcting us. But if they're correcting us with righteousness, we may not like it, but we better accept it because it'll help us. Principled spirit. How about purposeful service? This is what it produces. Proper leadership produces proper service. Guess what the princes eat? They eat when it's right time. They eat in due season. They're not looking in the morning to eat. They're eating when they're supposed to eat. Amen? And by the way, could I tell you, by way of application, this just popped in my mind. If we really go back to the beginning of the Word of God and the first two human beings that were placed on planet Earth, and the reason why mankind was plunged into sin is because he ate when he wasn't supposed to eat. She ate when she wasn't supposed to eat. She ate from where she wasn't supposed to eat. Amen. And by the way, when we eat when we're not supposed to, and we eat from where we're not supposed to, in other words, we're saying we don't believe that God's going to take care of us. And when you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're saying, God, I don't appreciate all those other trees I can eat all out of. And by the way, human nature is always to mess with stuff that we're not supposed to mess with. By the way, you put up a sign, don't touch, it makes people touch. You put up a sign, don't eat, it makes people eat. You put up a sign, don't chew gum, they look for gum. Anything you give by way of mankind as a boundary makes them want to cross it. But ladies and gentlemen, we all need boundaries. My soul. Correct pursuits is what they have. They're not looking for pleasure, they look for performance. And then constrained passions. They know how to say no to themselves because they're led right. The third one was impairing laziness. We got to that last week, didn't we? By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. He said to sometimes the reason why you got foolishness in a ruling situation is because you have people that want to maintain stability while being slothful. In other words, they want things to stay well without keeping them well. Huh? How many of you know just because it was good when you got it doesn't mean it's going to stay good on its own? Amen. Anything that's purchased in tip-top condition has to be maintained. And the reason why many buildings spiritually are decaying is because those who should be custodians of those buildings are not maintaining them. And by the way, this just probably got a lot of stuff popping in my head tonight. Could I tell you the most important building you need to maintain is the temple where the Holy Ghost lives, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Listen to me. The problem is not that you don't have the right resident in the building. The problem is you're not doing the proper maintenance on the building. The Holy Ghost is the landlord of the building, but God help us as tenants to keep the building maintained. Did you do anything to your building today? Oh, yes, I did, Pastor. I struggled through 95 traffic, sat myself down in the church house, and God should make my building flourish. Could I tell you something? Those of us that have homes, and those of us that have businesses, and those of us that have anything that we want upgraded, understand that upgrades cost money. Amen. I mean, if you want crown molding, you want recessed lighting, and you want to make things bigger and make things nicer, it means you got to pay for them, and you got to save for them, and you got to get them properly installed. And can I tell you that there are Christians who have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, and their Christian life is not increasing, it is decreasing, it is not climbing, it is plummeting, it is not going forward, it is going backwards, it is not moving, it is staying still, and it is simply because we think that just because God saved us, that's all we have to do is go to heaven. And God says laziness causes the building to decay. Deliberate slothfulness. He said much slothfulness. We ain't talking about oversleeping one day by accident. We talking about laying in the bed every day. The decaying structure is just falling apart. And now there's deteriorating stability. The house is dropping through. Ladies and gentlemen, before you go listing all of the circumstantial detriments in your life that are the result of your instability, maybe you just need to be honest with yourself and say, my spiritual house is dropping down because myself is lazy. I don't read like I used to. I don't pray like I used to. I don't work like I used to. Come on now. Come on now. You ever driven past somewhere and saw, but that place used to look good, now don't look good anymore. Grass used to be cut down, not cut anymore. Weeds growing everywhere. Stuff falling off everywhere. Let me tell you something. A house don't stay right by itself, and a Christian life doesn't stay right by itself. You say, I thought it was God was working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is true. But before that verse is written, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he says, make the most of what God put in you. He says, you've got to do the work, but God gives the energy. And may we as Christians get away from this epidemic of laziness. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain and build it. Yeah, but he also says we are laborers together with God. So the Christian life is not just about working for God, it's about working with God. Tonight, as we move forward to the last two, I have what's called indifferent laity. He said, what are you talking about, Pastor? You're talking about the danger of foolishness when it comes to ruling workers. I'm talking about people who are working underneath somebody in life, and they're working underneath someone very foolishly. And one of the ways we work underneath people foolishly is by indifferent laity, and that is someone who is given to all fun and games. They think they can laugh their way through everything. They think it's all about having fun. They want to go only where it's going to be a good time and do things that are only characterized by pleasure. They are perpetual clowns, never serious, indifferent because they don't have any soberness to life. Solomon said it's dangerous. That's dangerous. In other words, that just sometimes in the Christian life, we have no business laughing. Now notice what he said, if you would. I have here feasting mirth. Feasting mirth. A feast is made for laughter. This is not Solomon espousing this as being right. This is how people who are foolishly living talk. A feast is made for laughter. Where's the party? What's going on this weekend? Who's got something happening? Where's everybody going? Isn't it amazing? Nobody's saying, who's soul winning? Who's having a Bible study? Where can I get discipled? Where can I go be a blessing to somebody? Everybody wants to know, where is the fun at? That's how foolishness sounds. A feast is made for laughter. I don't want to go there. It's going to be too long, too boring, too serious. I want to watch that. It's too interfering. It's too demanding. I want to go hear something that's lighthearted, that provides a sense of levity to it. I want to go where I can laugh. Church ought to be fun, but it ought not be the only reason you come. Reading the Bible ought to be enjoyable, but that ought not be the only reason you read it. You and God ought to have a good time while you pray, but you shouldn't laugh your way through prayer. Amen. Feasting, mirth. I have here frivolous merriment. He says here, wine maketh merry. Here's how foolish they get. They get so foolish, they drink themselves silly. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the philosophy of the world. Do you hear me? Drunkenness. I didn't say alcoholism, I said drunkenness. We call it what the Bible calls it. See, as long as it's a sickness, we medicate it. But when it's a sin, we deal with it spiritually. Wine! Wine maketh merry. Here's what the world thinks. Give me self-satisfaction. Here's what they think. Give me more of what I want, and the more of what I want that I get, the happier that I am. And God says the opposite. Whoso keepeth his life shall lose it, but whoso loses his life for my sake, the same shall keep it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He that cometh after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoso wanted to be my disciple must hate his father, his mother, his brother and sister, his wife, his land, and his own self also. He can't be not a disciple. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ladies and gentlemen, if we start buying in to secular ideology, we're going to wreck our lives. He says it's feasting mirth, it's frivolous merriment, it's fulfilling money. Here's how the fool talks. Money answereth all things. That's foolishness. I said that's foolishness. And yet Christians have bought into it. And listen. I'm stepping out on a limb, but I feel like I've got a bunch of reinforcements on this limb right here. I guarantee that people sitting in the room tonight, you've convinced yourself if your money problem was fixed, you'd be happy. If you get that job, if you get that raise, if you get that lotto ticket, watch it. Watch it now. Watch it now. If I had what he had, I wouldn't be miserable. You know what fools fail to realize? that no matter what they get, where they go, or who gives them something, they're going to always have problems because they are going with it. So if a fool moves, he's not going to be happy because he moved. And where he moved, he went. And the problem went to the new place. Amen. And so money does not answer all things. That's why the love of it is the root of all evil. And while some have coveted after, it didn't even say they got it. They coveted after. Well, if you really study the Bible and see how much God has to say about covetousness, I'm talking about stuff we want that we never get, but wanting it takes us away from God. Are you listening? Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's how bad the devil tricks people. He gets them chasing stuff. They never get it. But while chasing it, they leave what they needed. How many times have you heard of affairs where people will leave their spouse chasing someone? And the person they leave their spouse for, they don't even end up with. They don't get the one they pursued, and they lost the one they had. Bummer! That's how the devil does. I'm leaving you. I'm going to the man I love. He'll love you. I'm getting out this house. I'm tired of the rules in my parents' house. I'm going to be with my friends. And then you find out where your friends live, they don't pay the bills. You end up home. He says, it's just fulfilling money, so they think, but it's futile. You know what money is? A medium of exchange. That's it. And if misused, it'll wreck your life. Now let me close this chapter with this last thought. Indiscreet lamenting. Indiscreet lamenting. The word lament means to mourn or grieve in this context. To complain. So I'm working under somebody I don't like. Here's what Solomon said. Even though you don't like them, don't be foolish by cursing them. And where does that cursing begin? What I call revengeful thinking. He said, curse not the king. And then notice the clarification beyond there. No, not in thy thought. You know what I take this to be? Solomon's indictment, not even on action yet, but on bitterness. He says, don't allow yourself to develop bitter feelings towards your authorities. Your parents, your leaders, your preacher, your ministry leader, your boss. He said, long before you cursing them with your mouth, you cursing them in your mind. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Are you listening to me? See, Ahithophel had those bitter thoughts about David long before he betrayed him. Because he was still mad about David stealing Bathsheba, his granddaughter. You listening to me? And so he had somebody that was in charge of him that he had unchecked bitter thoughts about. And because those bitter thoughts were not checked, they led to a terrible tragedy. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are and how concealed you think your thoughts are. If you are harboring a root of bitterness, though concealed, it will eventually destroy you, and it will cause you to make moves and decisions that are impulsive, that are unwise, that are not like you, that are regretful, but when done, unchangeable. So it begins with revengeful thinking, which leads to what? Reckless talking. So you've been thinking about it so long, you get near somebody that gives you an avenue to express it. So you, and in the, isn't the devil such a great navigator that he often spins your path with the path of other negative cronies such as yourself? People you never were friends with before until both of y'all ended up on the negative train with seats right beside each other. And now you best of buddies, thick as thieves, gnawing on somebody together, sowing discord among the brethren. You two? Oh, let me tell you mine. That how they did you? Let me tell you how they did me. Curse not the king. And he said, don't run down the rich. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you're working under somebody that's got more than you have. So now not only do you not like how they are, you don't like what they have. So watch this now. So you're in the bed chamber. Watch this now. You in what would be characterized as a private location. Just you and a bosom buddy that you just met on the negative train. And watch this now. You're not gossiping. You're just expressing yourself in a negative way behind somebody's back that you wouldn't say in front of them, which is the definition of gossip. But anyway, but you excuse it. Because in your mind, whatever the person did to you wasn't right. So God excuses you for being wrong since someone else preceded you in being wrong. Isn't it amazing how we get mad at people for doing stuff to us and we get so mad about it, we do it to them? And here's the funny thing about it. The person sitting beside you is agreeing with you. Mm-hmm, I know. Don't make no sense. Watch it now. What else they did? They did what? No. After all you done did? Hard as you work? That's all they gave you? Watch this now. Oh, no, you shouldn't put up with that. Just pumping you. And listen, you're feeling good. I finally found someone that identifies with me. What they don't tell you is they're recording your conversation and telling everything you say. Playing both sides. Stirring the pot. And they in there acting wounded with you. I know. My leg hurt too. But they're lying. They limp all the way out of the house on that leg saying, I'm going to be praying for you, brother, because that shouldn't happen like that. Get out the door. I mean, not even out the driveway. And that limp go away. They walk fast and fly like an eagle. And whisper what you said to who you said it about. And then your superior calls you in and say, I heard what you've been saying. And you go, I heard what? I hope somebody answered that phone. God bless you. It's okay. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how the most secure information gets leaked? I mean, I'm talking about you thought you had it. I mean, you stapled it, glued it, duct taped it, screwed it down, reinforced it, put that bubble wrap around it. You understand what I'm saying? Put it in the shoebox, stuffed paper. And then put it in a Target bag to throw people off. And somehow, it got back to the person you worked the hardest to keep it from.
That's right.
And here's the amazing thing. Sometimes the bird gets to chirping and the bird doesn't even intentionally tell the person it was about. The bird just chirps without thinking. You ever been around someone, if you let them talk for 5 minutes, they tell everything. And they're just out there just talking. Yeah, I know. What's the name? Told me. I heard it. What's the name? And sure did. They didn't look down under the stall and notice them was your shoes in the bathroom. Just listening in. Everything. If they'd look, they'd remember your shoes. And you weren't about to say, hey, I'm in here either. You just sitting in the stall, taking it in. And all of a sudden you go, wow. I know that person talked like that. Isn't it amazing? By the way, here's the famous line. People have been saying, me, myself, and I, that's the people. And here's this. I won't talk to you. I've not mentioned it to anybody. What they fail to realize is you already know they said it before they told you because everybody mentioned it to already told you. But they ain't mentioned it to nobody. Here's what Solomon's trying to tell us. That we are not exempt of the obligation to do right just because we think we've been wronged. Foolishness is when you allow yourself to be dictated by others' unrighteousness as opposed to maintaining your own righteousness. In other words, don't let people make you do what you shouldn't do because they're not going to be there to handle the consequences of what you did do. So he says, watch him out. And by the way, you say, Pastor, who is this message for? Everybody in here. And everybody watching on the webcast. And everybody listening in on sermon audio later down the road. And your kids that are born, for you young people that are going to have kids later, for all of them. Listen to me. Everybody in this building needs to tell yourself before you go to bed tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit, help me to watch my mouth. Because foolishness is dead. I'm finished, just about. I was reading a while back that there are people nowadays who have gotten fired from their jobs because their bosses have found out through somebody else that they were running them down on social media. And here you go thinking that you intentionally don't friend your boss because you don't want him to see what you're saying about him. And your friends tell your boss, who's not your friend, what you have said about him. They still working. The birds still flying, still working, getting a paycheck. And there you are in the unemployment line talking about, who told my business? It's too late. You got to be careful. The devil is a divider. The devil is a divider. And by the way, I'll tell you something else about birds. Birds not only run with information, they edit it. They add seasonings to it. You gave them a baked potato. By the time they deliver it, it got butter, sour cream, bacon, chives, seasoning, and buttered bread. And guess what? Nobody's going to believe you when you tell the correct story because you're already tainted for talking at all. Curse not the king. Curse not. The last thing you kids want to do is come to church and run down your parents to your friends. It's the last thing you want to do. The only one who look like a fool is you. Because when your parents find out you said something, they ain't going to go punish the kids for talking. They're going to beat you. And you got yourself worse from running your mouth. If you can't confront the person, keep your mouth closed. Our Father, help us, help us. We can be honest or we can be hypocritical. We have to watch our mouths. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, help us. Bless this invitation and may you be glorified in what we say and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together. If you need to come to the altar and be honest with God, why don't you do it? And just say, God, help me. God, help me.